about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is Rod Serling, creator of The Twilight Zone. It's believed that someday we'll hear voices from outer space. And it's with this in mind we created the sounds you're about to hear.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi, am I on the air? Two beer mugs.
What is happening?
So you're all ready for the party?
Fair warning. I party pretty hard. You should see me dance. I can't be controlled.
Oh.
I do a lot of pelvic thrusts.
Oh.
Just very localized dancing. Very small orbits. I've been wrecking parties since I was 13. I was like the Hunter S. Thompson of bar mitzvahs.
And now, if you want to be a talk show host, it's better if you're funny. Now, have you ever had any experience with being funny?
Our feature presentation.
No.
Does not ring a bell.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not a bit. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 25th of May.
This week is flying on by, you guys.
I know. Love
it. Right? How was everybody's weekend?
You know, bought a car on a whim.
What?
It was such a weird thing. Yesterday, sitting on the porch around 4:30, beautiful outside, my car alarm goes beep, 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 which it's doing every day. Ever since it was in that accident, it just hasn't been right.
Right.
Even they fixed it. We thought, let's just walk over to the dealership, like 4 blocks away, and just look around. And next thing you know, I've got a new car.
That's how it works.
I know.
That's how it works.
It's totally how it works.
You had no plan to actually go home with one. And
not
yet.
At all. Not at all. So, hey, Benjamin, Corey, and Cedric, my new best friends.
Wow.
It's another Prius, of course.
Sure.
But it's limited edition. It's in this
Once you go Prius,
cool
you never
black cherry color.
Go.
You never go back.
I don't know.
Well, congratulations, I guess.
Thank
now,
you.
I guess the countdown is on to when you wreck this one, too.
I know. I'm
you
so
can't
nervous.
Have nice things.
It's true.
Apparently.
True.
Some people should not have nice things.
Probably. I may learn my lesson this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got a big program for you today, but let's get started. Kevin, I saw a tweet that you made on a subject that I wanted to discuss as well today, which was the onslaught of commercials on TV this weekend for FarmersOnly.com.
What's up with that?
Where did you see it?
I saw it during the Kings game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And there were... I don't know. I don't think I'm exaggerating. 10 during the game.
Really?
I don't know. I know it was on. I saw it during Mad Men. I think I could be wrong, but I thought I saw it during Hannibal too. And I saw it at least one other time. It was just, you know, they have that theory. It's not a theory. That's not the right word. But they have that the amount of impressions it needs to make. A commercial has to be on the air before people start to notice it.
Right.
And for whatever reason, this weekend they worked. Because FarmersOnly.com, it seemed to me, was on all the time. And this is exactly what you think if you didn't see the commercials. This is a dating site for farmers. Here's a little bit of what that sounds like. It's kind of weird that they'd be running that during a hockey game, right?
Yes, that's what I thought.
Wouldn't you think?
Where's Jill?
She's really lonely and out walking the cornfield again.
Yeah, these are talking cows in the field, by the way, is their approach.
Where's Jill?
Where's Jill?
Do you think they will ever find us true love?
Not hanging out with us all day.
We used to be lonely.
Until we met on Farmers Only.
FarmersOnly.com is the new online dating site for farmers, ranchers, and good old country folks.
You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com.
City folks just don't get it.
City folks just don't get it, you guys.
Nope. They can't understand that.
From their website, when we looked for dating sites for farmers, we found sites that claimed to cater to farmers, ranchers, and country dwellers, but the majority of postings seemed to be from people who lived in big cities. If the people were real at all, just looking at the postings, they sure didn't look like farmers to us.
Oh, man.
What kind of a stereotype is that, by the way?
Speaking
do farmers
of stereotypes,
look different?
Yes, farmers do look different. They're fat and ugly.
Have
so you ever seen people in a commercial that look worse?
Yeah, it was they. Well, they didn't go to Central Casting for beautiful people for their commercial. That's true. They did. But it does.
For the opposite, it looks
like. It seems like they should have been able to. If they have as many people on this site as they claim to, it seems like they should have been able to do better than what was in the commercial.
Agreed.
Doesn't it? A little bit. Let's see. Lost my just build an online dating site for 100% for farmers, ranchers, and those who can relate to the rural and country lifestyle. You can register for free to get a feel for who's on our site, which, by the way, I will be doing. Instead of asking what your astrological sign is at farmersonly.com, we ask if you raise or breed alpacas, horses, cattle, chickens, dogs, goats, rabbits, sheep, or grow crops, or if you're an organic farmer, student farmer, cowboy, cowgirl, or just a farmer wannabe. How many single sites do that? So this is a thing that happens, I guess.
I'm guessing that you don't see the porn farmer's daughter chick. I'm guessing that those don't exist. I'm guessing this is not a crop of people that you would want to be involved with.
The truth is, though, that it's a good idea. I mean, if you really are a farmer and that's your life and you're not leaving your farm in Iowa, you're not going to meet somebody in Chicago and move there. You know, and you're most of the people on the website, dating websites in Chicago, are not interested in moving to a farm in Iowa. So it does kind of make sense that they have something like this. But it was just weird to see where I was seeing it on television. And I guess they're just doing the blanket approach, just trying to get people all over the country.
That's what I didn't understand is why they would run it so much during the – I thought they like focused on, all right, NHL fans. Those are the ones.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're not watching Mad Men. They're not deconstructing Dawn.
Yeah.
This is not happening.
Right. And they're also not watching a series between San Jose and Los Angeles.
No, you nailed it right on the head.
So it's weird.
The Indy. That's where they should be advertising.
Unless – yeah, the Indy 500 was this weekend. That's where he advertised. The only thing I can think is maybe they had some sort of deal where they just – you know, they put the ads with – the cable system or with DirecTV or somebody like that, and they just placed them across all sorts of channels. Maybe it was one of those kind of deals because it does seem like there aren't very many people living in San Jose or Los Angeles watching hockey that are going to go, damn it, Nebraska. That's what my life's been missing.
I'm thinking.
So bizarre. I do
capitalized
know.
Capitalized could they be?
I don't know.
How much cash could they really
they
have?
They had
these
to have
people?
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, and for a dating site, I don't know how much they make on each, you know.
Farmers
connection.
Aren't paying a lot today.
Right. I don't know. I don't. What's
going on?
They got
to buy their corn.
There's some kind of something going on here.
I don't know.
You can meet thousands of down-to-earth country folks today. Register today for free. No credit card required. City folks just don't get it. By the way, I'm going to be thinking this jingle all week long.
You don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com.
City folks just don't get it.
Very effective. Well, I'll let you know if I meet anybody, you guys. I'm definitely signing up. So wish me luck.
I used to raise cattle. That'll be Bean's little.
But dude, I don't eat them.
They wouldn't even talk to me. I had three. I don't That's even true, rate their world. Nothing. Are you kidding me?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I want to go on record as saying that this is a very bad idea.
You haven't heard it yet. Afterwards, you can say it's a bad idea. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Usually speak to him on Mondays, but we were off yesterday, so today we will talk to him.
Okay.
Isla Fisher will be on the program today.
How about her?
She's adorable.
How good does Now You See Me look?
Awesome.
Looks great.
Yeah.
And she's in Great Gatsby, too.
That's
she's
right.
having a hell of a summer.
Yeah. Matt Money Smith talking sports, talking about the Kings, talking about the, Dodgers-Angels game over mm-hmm. the weekend, which was craziness. Ask a Gigolo on today's show.
I'm here every day, guys. Why did you decide today is the day you're going to let me
did?
Take phone calls on this?
God.
The guy's name is Brace.
Yeah.
I want to say Brace. Is that
yes.
correct?
That's right. Yes.
Brace.
We're going to talk to Brace today, who is part of the Showtime show Gigolos. And we have many questions for him.
Charming.
How's
man
that going?
All I can tell.
How's that going is question one, right? And crazy situations you found yourself in when you were high. Now, that's straight for our audience. That's
sure.
not farmers insurance or whatever. That's all about beer mug, right? So we got that coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the showbiz beat.
To continue to bribe our listeners like we do on the Kevin and Bean Show all this week, we're going to have tickets for you to see 30 Seconds to Mars at the Hollywood Bowl. Those go on sale next Monday at 10, by the way. The show is October 12th. We're also hooking you up with the standby boarding list for K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination Number 2, this time Brussels, Belgium, you guys.
Well, that's the classiest place we've ever sent anyone,
not even,
right?
Not even positive where that is. South America, right?
South America, exactly,
right,
Kevin.
Good.
The Rock Werchter Festival is going to be happening with Phoenix and Depeche Mode, Blur, 30 Seconds to Mars again, Green Day, so much more. So we've got that. We can sign you up for that at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Is that little Brad Williams I see here?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I'm hanging out before I go to the Rock Werchter Festival.
How are you, man? How was your weekend?
Wonderful. Had some great shows at Irvine Improv. Tons of Kevin and Bean listeners came out, so I wanted to thank those guys for coming out. And it's just nice to have a bunch of people come together. and all agree on one thing, and that's we should fire Beer Mug.
No.
Yeah, thanks God.
We should absolutely fire Beer Mug. Oh, yeah. It's gone down to Irvine, too.
Brad is our favorite little person and one of our favorite comedians of all time, and you are recording your new comedy special that's this coming weekend, right?
I am, at the Ice House in Pasadena.
Very exciting.
Two shows Friday,
two shows
Saturday.
Do you get nervous when you know you're recording?
I'm nervous more for the audience, like if that guy's going to be in the audience knowing that I'm recording an album, so he's going to yell out like Jennifer, I love you, or like something like that.
That's going to be me, and I'm going to yell Jennifer, I love you.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Well, Ralph is out today. He will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, Brad has graciously agreed to fill in, and what a showbiz news day it is, huh?
Wow. Here's the thing. When I knew I was coming in on Tuesday, I thought, Memorial Day weekend, it's going to be slow.
Nothing will happen.
Yeah, all the celebrities are out just like having vacations and on the beach and nothing's going to happen. And then Amanda Bynes said, "Don't worry, I'll handle it."
To the rescue.
And she's the best.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, let's talk about her war with Rihanna on Twitter for no reason. She just started tweeting hateful tweets at Rihanna, saying, and this is just really just not good at all. She says, Chris Brown beat you because you're not pretty enough.
Says Amanda Bynes,
says
by the way.
Says Amanda Bynes. Says swollen face, drug-induced, needles through both cheeks, Amanda Bynes, that Rihanna's not pretty.
Yeah.
Then she follows it up with, "No one wants to be your lover, so you call everyone and their mother that I almost named my new dog Rihanna."
Woo!
Okay.
What a burn!
I don't speak crack, so I'm not sure exactly what that's supposed to mean. Rihanna, to her credit, did have a great comeback. She tweeted out, "You see what happens when they cancel intervention?" Well played, Rihanna.
Yes.
Well played. I guess Amanda then freaked out and thought that she should have a comeback of her own. Now, see if you can follow this comeback and see how...
You mean see if we can even understand it?
Yes.
Okay.
All here, right. Here was her comeback on Twitter. "Unlike your fugly face self, I don't do drugs. You need an intervention, dog. I met your ugly face in person. You aren't pretty, you know it." They have intervention dogs now?
I don't think so.
I think I saw intervention dog at Coachella last year.
Could be.
They were pretty good. Is that what intervention dog? Row, row, you're on drugs. Row.
That's it. And then you go, wow. I just hit bottom. That's what you think.
Well, I think it is a good sign if you are doing enough drugs that you feel your dog is telling you that you're doing too much drugs.
Sure.
Maybe that's a sign. So she came back with that, but then now she's claiming that all the tweets were fake.
Oh, she is?
Yes. All that.
Meaning somebody hacked her account?
No. See, that would be logical.
Okay.
We're speaking Amanda Bynes here.
Ah, sorry.
So no one hacked her account. This is the statement she put out. Once again, see if you can follow this. "I saw a bunch of mocked up tweets about me bashing Rihanna in my mentions. I'm followed by so many people that someone is always mocking up fake tweets, so I feel the need to address them." Listen.
What the hell?
Amanda, wow. please.com.
Listen. Wow. Bean, you're followed by how many people? Like 30,000 people? Something like
around
that?
I think around 25.
Yeah, I got like 22 or something like that. Like people are followed by a bunch of people. I've never seen just tweets pop up, like, just bashing one person. You know, like, I've never had tweets just pop up. Like,
where it looks like it's coming from you?
Yeah.
Is that what she's
from
saying?
From your actual Twitter account.
Yeah.
Right.
She's saying that just magically someone not even hacked her Twitter, but just they just popped up and started insulting people.
And if it were some sort of a virus or something, it wouldn't come up with a message about Rihanna. That's not what somebody would write a virus to do, and you couldn't target just her account. I mean, the whole story just obviously falls apart upon any kind of, you know, inspection.
Exactly. Basically, we can all agree on that. Amanda Bynes needs help.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Unless we want these great showbiz beats to keep happening, then in that case, no help.
We're torn.
Why are cameras not following her? We have reality shows about cakes, and Amanda Bynes exists with no cameras following her. Come on, people.
That's a good point.
TLC, get on that. Make that happen. Now, I don't even know what to make of this. There is a Keeping Up with the Kardashians porn tape coming.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Now, you would think that Kim Kardashian, porn star Kim Kardashian, is already porn star, so that's kind of...
Right.
Yeah, but it's a parody of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians TV show.
Okay.
And the porn star playing Kim Kardashian will be Kiara Mira. Do yourself a favor and Google that name.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Nothing wrong with that. But this is not just Kim. Oh, no. It's, the whole family's involved.
Okay.
So you're
I'm scared.
So you're going to see parody Kris Jenner, parody all of them.
Courtney,
parody Kanye. Everyone's going to be in it.
Okay.
No news on who is going to be playing Chloe, though. My guess, they're bringing back Chewbacca.
Well, the only possible choice.
I saw the Star Wars movies are coming back. Chewbacca is trying to get in training.
Sure.
So Chewie's going to come back and do.
Sorry, can I hear that again?
Sorry. Was that? Was that a good Chewbacca?
Perfect.
Perfect. I think I hit that on the money. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
We might have to talk to Chewbacca later today.
That sounded like...
I don't know what it sounded like, but...
That sounded like you're at a bad drive-through Mexican restaurant, and like that's what came over the intercom. Like, I would like some refried beans. I love that all my impressions suck. I love that.
You're consistent.
At least I'm consistent.
That's important.
Yeah. You know what you get from me.
Yeah.
So yeah, looking forward to the Keeping Up with the Kardashians porn spoof tape. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everyone. Singer John Fogerty is 68. I saw John Fogerty play with the Sound City Players. And holy crap, that guy still rocks.
Yeah, he's great.
Still,
terrific.
Still sounds exactly like he sounded back in the day. Wow. Tons of energy on that guy. Kylie Minogue is 45 years old. Yeah. The View co-host Elizabeth Hasselbeck is 36. And actress Carey Mulligan is 28. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. And I pitter-patter on the show, Biz B.
The old school TMZ television show airs 4 times a day on Fox Channel 11 in Los Angeles, including at 12:30 and again at 6. TMZ Live airs at 4. And Harvey Levin joins us each Monday morning on The Kevin and Bean Show, except in the event of a holiday weekend, in which case we talked to him on Tuesday. Hi, Harvey. How was your holiday, dude?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good. Thank you.
Very good.
Doing fine. Do you go see any of those big summer blockbuster movies? You catch any Star Trek or Hangover or Fast and Furious, any of those?
You know, the only thing I watched that Liberace thing last night on HBO.
What'd you think of that?
It was interesting. I mean, it was from that guy's perspective. It wasn't from Liberace's. It was based on his book.
Right.
But it was interesting. I mean, I wasn't sure the whole time I was watching it, but it held my interest, so I watched it.
If I
can watch a movie without falling asleep, it's a good movie.
Right. I saw about the first hour, and then it got late for me. I will finish it up. But I will tell you, I agree with those people who said that if it were in theaters, as it was originally supposed to be, Steven Soderbergh couldn't get the financing for it. But if it were in theaters, I don't see how Michael Douglas wouldn't be nominated for a Best Actor Oscar. He was incredible.
He was incredible, but I thought Matt Damon was great. I thought Matt Damon was great in this movie.
I agree. He was great, too.
And could you believe Rob Lowe in this movie?
Yeah.
I didn't see any of those people in Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Honestly, God, it was a really interesting movie.
It was a TV event, that's for sure. All right, well, let's move on to the news of the day. You never have to worry about putting food on your family's table there, Harvey, as long as Amanda Bynes is out there in New York City. What a crazy few days for her. And I don't think we've even talked to you since he hit me in my vagina. I don't think we've been had you on for the update since then.
No. I mean, it's been really crazy. I mean, obviously, you guys know that she's been charged with 3 crimes after cops went into her place and saw marijuana, allegedly, and then she allegedly threw a bong out the window and could have killed somebody. So the real story here is this, that Amanda Bynes has never been formally diagnosed with any kind of a condition. I mean, there are people who believe that she might be bipolar or schizophrenic, but she's never been formally diagnosed because she refuses to be. And her parents are trying to do something, but they're thwarted because she's not, if you will, crazy enough that they can involuntarily commit her. She's not unable to take care of herself, and it's a really high standard to commit somebody, so they've basically been told they can't do that. So they're trying to figure out what to do, but they don't even have a formal diagnosis on her, and meanwhile, she is just you know, plunging into, you know, this darkness, which is really, really sad.
Let me ask you this, Harvey, by means of backstory for Amanda Bynes. She's not somebody that I ever remember hearing had troubles when she was a younger working actress and seemed to be functioning fine in society and didn't have any problems. It seems like only once she didn't have anything to do and she kind of went off and started living by herself that she started to develop some of these psychoses. Am I wrong about all that?
You're mostly right. She was absolutely fine. And what happened was, I mean, look, the way it was put to me was she started showing signs of whatever is wrong with her. And it just escalated and escalated. So there were signs something was wrong, but it wasn't like she just rebelled. I mean, her family started seeing things in her that were really troubling, and it got worse and worse and worse. So I don't think this is somebody who just decides to go off the rails.
Yeah.
I think this is somebody who has something wrong with her that is getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, it's not just rebelling or anything like that. It's more serious.
She started a Twitter war with Rihanna that was just absurd. It was just, you're ugly.
She's doing it with her parents. She's doing it with, look, I mean, she's not in a right mind.
Hmm. What about, I'm sure the NYPD Blue has to investigate these charges, no matter how crazy they seem to us on the outside, but what are some of the things that she's accusing the police doing that night she got arrested?
Well, I mean, she says, she's saying that the bong was a flower pot.
Hey, it could have been both.
Which you just happened to fling out the window?
Which you just happened to fling out the window. And, you know, look, I mean, it almost doesn't matter. I mean, she's saying crazy things right now.
Harvey, we're not past the point of being entertaining, though, are we? Where we're just sad?
We kind of are.
I don't like getting to the sad part.
We don't want to be sad.
I'm sorry. It's kind of like Britney. I mean, it was funny for a while.
But
and then
Britney
all of a sudden,
pulled out of it.
No, but remember, there was a point where it happened with Britney. Everybody was laughing, and then all of a sudden it got really dark.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where we're at, I think, unfortunately.
No.
But she's talking about how the cops illegally entered her apartment and that they lied about that she had drugs on her and just all sorts of crazy stuff. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to make of any of it. But if her parents can't...
She's got a mental problem.
Does she have any friends? I mean, if the parents can't do anything... No?
She's really isolated. She doesn't. I mean, she's really isolated. This is a really sad situation. I mean, look, if they were to do a full mental workup, everybody in her life thinks they're going to find something that's mentally wrong.
Right.
And that is sad.
And that's not her fault. You know, she may have something that is causing all of this.
Is it possible it's drugs, or they think it's more than that?
They think it's more than that. I mean, just the way this thing developed and, you know, that it escalated, that it started subtle and then got worse and worse and worse, they think it's more than that.
And what about the wig, Harvey? She looks like the girl in The Ring, right?
It's just, you know... I'm at the sad point now.
Aww. Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on to somebody that we can all hate and we can all enjoy, and that's your little friend Justin Bieber, who seems to be on your site about 5 days a week. What now?
I didn't expect it when I woke up, but we now have at the top of the website.
You should.
That last night, Justin was allegedly driving recklessly in his Calabasas gated community, which is
guilty.
And he's under investigation by the cops, and there are two people in the neighborhood, including Keyshawn Johnson, who made the 911 calls, and he was driving at breakneck speeds. So they say, they're saying they identified him as Bieber inside the car. We will see what Bieber says. We know that the cops went out and Bieber refused to speak to them. And this is the second incident now where police have investigated. The first one where he allegedly spit in the neighbor's face who complained and then threatened to kill him. That's before the DA right now. They're deciding whether to prosecute or not. Now there's a second.
It's really hard to be as consistently douchey as he is.
He's doing a good job.
Don't you think? Yeah. I mean, really, to stay at that level is really difficult.
Now, he's the one when you say... You know, he's, you know, in his right mind and making these decisions. Yeah, he is. This isn't a mental thing. This is Justin.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This him just being a kid and a bad one, I guess, is I mean, I don't want to paint all kids with a broad brush because there are lots of 19-year-olds who don't behave like this. He's just making terrible choices, basically.
Yeah, terrible choices. Like,
exactly.
Terrible choices.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on the Kardashian sex tape, the new charges against Chris Brown. So much great stuff at TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Always a pleasure to talk to our friend Harvey Levin here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have yourself a super week, Harvey. Thanks.
You too, guys. See ya.
Chip's having a harder time reaching the microphone than Brad.
Chip is tiny. I want a reality show where Chip, Brad Williams, and CeeLo all try to reach stuff. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, you put them into a room with a whole bunch of stuff up on a shelf and see if you can get everything down?
That'd be awesome.
Like a game show?
Hey, party people. Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, the beautiful Isla Fisher joins us just after 7 o'clock this morning. Also in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll do the grand prize drawing to send someone to Summer Sonic in Tokyo, Japan to see Muse, Metallica, Linkin Park, and more. That's coming up in just a few minutes. So, following Kevin on social media, here's my synopsis of how much he was able to accomplish this weekend. You saw The Hangover.
Yep.
You saw Fast and Furious.
Yes.
You saw two hockey games.
Yep.
You saw a soccer game.
Yep.
You saw a night of UFC fights.
Correct.
We got to get you a dog or something. We got to figure out some way to
get
you
weekend.
Out of the house.
That's the best weekend ever.
Aren't your eyes bleeding from seeing all that stuff?
No.
Oh, and how many Arrested Developments did you see?
8 episodes.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine,
did you,
Lisa?
Go outside.
Yeah, I went outside a bunch.
You had to get to the movie theater.
What's wrong with you people?
Good point.
You're one of those kids that I read about in the news whose parents do everything they can to keep them away from screens and fail. 8 episodes of Arrested Development. Now, of course, this is the season 4 that is available only on Netflix. It just became available on Sunday. Chip is our resident Arrested Development super fan. Chip, how many did you see?
I think I have 3 episodes left.
Oh, my gosh.
So you saw 12 then?
Yeah, but that's between, like, 2 days. Like,
oh,
six,
all right.
Yeah, 6 and 6. Come on.
What? This is a show that has been it's been off for 7 years before. Is that right? 7 years since it was last on TV?
Yeah. So 2006. Yeah.
So it's finally back. It's something that it's just one of those things that the fans have just been demanding, and they finally figured out a way to make it happen financially by doing it through Netflix. What did you guys think? I'm dying to know what everybody thinks because I've been avoiding the spoiler alerts because I don't want to know too much about the series before I watch them.
How do you not get spoiler alerts?
Yeah. I will say the first 2 episodes start off slow, so you're like,
yeah.
I don't know.
You're concerned?
Yeah, but
they do worry you a bit.
Okay.
You start watching, you go, the problem is expectations. If you expect it to be what everybody's been saying since 2006,
right.
It can't be.
Yeah,
how do you compare it, Chip, to, because I know you've seen the original 3 series 100 times each. How do you compare it to those?
I'll say, like, once you get into it and everything starts tying together and the jokes tie back to the first episodes and everything, it gets awesome.
It gets better is what you're saying.
It gets way better.
So you're super satisfied with it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I watched a little bit of it. I saw the first couple, and I was amazed. Michael Cera looks a couple years older because he's at that age where you grow.
Right.
Everybody else looks identical to the way they've – I mean, like Jessica Walter is 7 years older. She looks exactly the same.
Well,
right?
She was 70 when she played that role.
That's what I'm saying is how does she look exactly the same? It's crazy. Will Arnett looks exactly the same. David Cross looks exactly the same. Portia de Rossi got so much plastic surgery I barely recognized her.
What happened to Portia de Rossi?
What happened to Portia de Rossi? Because I haven't really seen her in much since Arrested Development. She's just been off being Mrs. Ellen, so it's not like she's on my TV or movie screen all the time. But wasn't it jarring to see what she looks like? Now, she's still a beautiful woman.
Yes, but she used to be more beautiful. It almost
she looks so plastic now.
She tried to look younger, and it backfired.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. Wasn't that a surprise to you guys?
I was sort of bummed. I've always found her very attractive.
Yeah.
Very attractive. Very attractive, yeah. I thought it would be fun, Chip, since you are our resident Arrested Development guru, since you love the show more than anyone, to do a couple of questions from the Arrested Development quiz that's going around. Actually, there are a couple of good quizzes going around for Arrested Development super fans.
Right.
And I just think these questions are awesome, and I'm telling you, I've seen all of these episodes, but I haven't seen them all as much as you have, so some of this stuff completely escaped me, but it's such a funny show. I thought it'd be fun if you wouldn't mind. We try to run a few questions by and see if you still got it.
Oh, of course, bring it.
All right. For instance, what cause did Lindsay never fundraise for? Talking about the beautiful Portia de Rossi on Arrested Development. What cause during the course of the show did she never fundraise for? Was it Stop the Hunger, Save the Wetlands, Save the African Newt, or Hands Off Our Penises?
I know it.
Second, the First one, right?
Nope. Fourth one.
Third one.
No!
See, the African newt is the one she never fundraised for.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yes. Hands off our penises, of course. That was a famous one that she did. How does Tobias end up pursuing the Blue Man Group? Of course, we all remember that that was a long-running gag in Arrested Development. He was in the Blue Man Group on Vegas. A, he mistakes them for a depression support group. B, he mistakes them for a therapeutic art class. C, he mistakes them for an avant-garde film he can audition for. D, he mistakes them for a bi-curious singles group.
It's a
depression support group, right? And by the way, in the new series, he gets very confused about another group that he thinks he's joining too, which I think you'll enjoy very much. What do Job and Tony Wonder call magic show audiences, Chip?
How do you do dance?
Yes, the how do you do dance is correct.
Wow, she didn't even need the choices.
Wow. All right, a couple more questions on the Arrested Development quiz as we celebrate its return on Netflix. What modern holiday have Michael and George Michael honored through the years? Is it A, Grandparents Day, B, Take Your Daughter to Work Day, C, International Talk Like a Pirate Day, or D, singer George Michael's birthday?
Take Your Daughter to Work Day.
That is correct, which, by the way, is super hilarious when you think about it. What's the Spanish word that Job and Michael both wrongly assumed to be a man's name? Is it A, perro, B, guapo, C, muchacho, D, hermano?
Hermano.
She's good, you guys.
Good.
She is good.
And you're hassling me for spending too much time in front of the two.
Which of the following was not a Funke family endeavor? A, Dip-a-Pet, B, You're Hooked, Vanity Prosthetic Hooks, C, Mommy, What Will I Look Like, D, Dr. Fouquet's 100% Natural Good Time Family Band Solution. Which of the following was not a Funke family endeavor?
The second one.
Yes, You're Hooked, Vanity Prosthetic Hooks. She's good.
Chip is scary.
This is what happens when my band doesn't do anything.
No kidding. All right, a couple more. George Sr. peddles the video series Caged Women from prison. What earlier series did he pioneer? A, Girls with Low Self-Esteem, B, Boy Fights, C, One Arm Yourself with the Truth, or D, Attic Antics?
Boy Fights.
Boy Fights it is! All right. One more, then. What is Buster's actual first name? And by the way, not enough Buster so far in my series, the first couple of episodes,
there wasn't
I'd like
much.
To say.
There's a later on in the series, there's an episode about him, and it's hilarious.
Okay, good. And I wondered, because everybody's so busy, Michael Cera's making movies, and Jason Bateman's making movies, and Tony Hale, of course, is on Veep. I just wondered if some of it was availability, with getting them on these new episodes.
Yeah, they do end up telling the story from one perspective each time, and it's a
which is interesting.
And then sometimes you'll see, like, in the background, like, you'll see, like, Tobias talking to Lindsay, and then an episode later, they'll do it from that perspective.
Which is actually a pretty cool way to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm dying to know what the numbers are going to be like, by the way, on this, if Netflix is going to release what the information is. Do you know, and I read this leading up to the release of Arrested Development over the weekend, that on an average, you're going to love this, Lisa, on an average weeknight in America, one-third of the internet bandwidth in the country is taken up by Netflix.
That is stunning.
Wow.
No,
isn't that
kidding.
Shocking?
Yeah.
All right, here's the final question for you then, Chip, Arrested Development superfan. What is Buster's actual first name? Is it A, Brain, B, Brian, C, Byron, D, Busterson?
Byron.
She's right again, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Chip rocks.
She's got her hands in the air like she accomplished something.
She did accomplish something.
Hold on, I got you a victory lap.
Our friend Brad Williams is filling in for our other friend Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat all day. Today, Ralph is coming back tomorrow. By the way, Brad, you are owning Vine lately. I have to give you mad props for that.
Thank
Your
you.
Chewbacca impression that we just tweeted from @Kevin and Bean, people absolutely have to see. And your what was that you were doing in bed this weekend that you took?
Whoa,
you
hey
down?
Now.
Take
hey
it
now.
Easy.
Yeah,
Brad can do it twice in 6 seconds. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I vined out my routine of how I wake up in the morning, which is I sing the theme to The Lion King. So check me out on Twitter or Vine @FunnyBrad, and you can do that.
But if you've ever wanted to see a little person with his shirt off and tiny little underwear, that's what you definitely ought to be checking out.
I personally have raised Baby Gap stock by 6 points.
Right. Exactly. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat, and then we'll talk to the beautiful Isla Fisher coming up here on K-Rock.
Oh, man. Well, let's get through this then. How about, you just had a long weekend. Maybe you didn't have a lot to do. You're like, I don't have stuff to do. Well, let me give you stuff to do. How about tickets to the premiere, the Los Angeles premiere of the new movie This Is the End.
Yay!
Yeah! Monday. This is on Monday, June 3rd in Westwood at the Regency Village Theater. This is the movie with James Franco, Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, and they're all playing themselves.
It looks great.
It does look
looks
great.
Hilarious. Yeah,
which I love. And I guess they're attending a party at James Franco's house, and then all of a sudden the apocalypse
Danny
happens.
Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, everybody. It's amazing.
Yeah. So how about the first five callers will get premiere passes to This Is the End, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers, we will send you to that premiere.
That's this next Monday.
Yeah.
It's already June. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, getting there. Kevin, what movie did you see this weekend?
I saw Fast and Furious.
You saw Car Porn.
I saw Car Porn, yes.
All right. A lot of people saw that movie this weekend. In fact, let's look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Fast and Furious did come in at number one with $120 million.
Does that shock anybody else?
Yes.
Yes,
it
absolutely.
Really it really does.
Me.
I mean,
that's
I really wanted to see
money.
It, but I also thought that was one of the ones that I enjoy that most people don't.
Well, a lot of those.
sadly, a lot of the people in our country think like you, Kevin. They have the same taste, apparently. I want to go see Cuz blow up. So, $120 million. Almost just as shocking that Fast and Furious made $120 million is that The Hangover 3, in its debut weekend, made $51
million. I saw that, too.
Yes, you saw both.
Yeah.
$51 million, a great number, but the fact that it's less than half of what Fast and Furious made.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Lot of people went to the movies this weekend. Star Trek was number three at $47 million.
I heard this was the biggest Memorial Day weekend box office ever, by the way.
Number five, Iron Man 3 made $24.4 million.
Wow.
$24.4 million would be a great debut week for a lot of movies.
Yep.
The children's movie, I'm going out of order here, the children's movie Epic came in at number four at $42.6 million.
Wow.
Everyone was at the movie theaters this weekend. Rounding at the top five, number six, The Great Gatsby, number seven, Mud, number eight, The Croods, number nine, 42, and number 10, Oblivion. And I was looking at the numbers. Normally when the number 10 movies and the number nine, they make like $875,000. I think Oblivion still made a couple million. So, and that was like number 10. So everyone was at the movies this weekend.
I want a good movie.
Thank you, Kevin. In the rumor department, Liam Hemsworth looks to be recovering nicely from Miley Cyrus. According to sources, he was getting cozy with Hunger Games star Jennifer Lawrence.
What a step up that is.
No,
right?
Totally.
Hey,
wow.
Step, I don't know if that's a step up. I don't know if you've heard, but Miley Cyrus is number one on the Maxim Hot 100 list.
Yeah, we had to disown Maxim for that.
I mean, so
that's absurd.
So he's falling from number one to whatever Jennifer Lawrence came at, but nice recovery if that is true. Good for him.
Yeah.
And also, Kris Jenner and Sharon Osbourne are apparently feuding.
I'm Team Sharon. I don't even know what this feud's about, but I'm absolutely on Sharon's side.
I'm absolutely on that, too. Sharon was reportedly saying that she doesn't approve of Kris and how she pimps out her children and just, but we all know that about Kris Jenner.
Yeah, she's right.
Kris got upset with that, started talking back about how Sharon has her own family issues that she should be concerned about. Would reach for comment. I believe Khloe Kardashian had a comment.
Did she have a comment? What did she say, Brad?
It's not getting any better.
It's getting worse. It's actually getting worse. I didn't think that was possible.
The sad part was I was practicing.
I don't want to stereotype at all, Brad, but maybe you should be looking more at R2-D2 or Wicket or maybe one of the other smaller characters rather than trying to do Chewbacca.
Come on, man.
Come on your own size.
I was,
try it again.
You sound like you're gargling mouthwash.
At least you said mouthwash.
Right.
Good Lord. I'm sticking to my Ewok impression, which is just me walking.
That's okay.
That's it. Oh, Lord. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, people. Singer John Fogerty is 68 years old and still rocking. Singer Kylie Minogue is 45, still looking good. Elizabeth Hasselbeck from The View is 36.
Now, I took some heat on a bell for Elizabeth. What do you guys
you
think?
You did?
I think she's very pretty.
No, I think she gets a bell.
If you have difference with her political views, that's one thing.
Right.
But if you're literally looking just at her body, literally, body of work, yeah, mm-hmm. I say bell.
I'd say bell. I don't watch her, so I don't get annoyed by her like some people.
And actress Carey Mulligan is 28. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Please make fun of my Chewbacca impression, and I pitter patter on the show.
A little tingly. I got to be honest that we're going to talk to Isla Fisher here in a minute.
No,
I love her.
No, I don't mean it like that. I just mean it
There's
in
only
a,
one way to mean tingly.
I just mean in that I'm a huge fan of hers. I admire her very much, and I think she's lovely. So we're going to talk to her about a couple of big summer movies that she's got in theaters. First, though, we have a minute before she joins us on the phone. Why don't we take care of some business here and send somebody to the Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo, Japan. We're talking about Muse, Metallica, Linkin Park, and more. We qualified you all last week, got you on the standby boarding list. Now we're going to dial up and find out who is going to be going. How, can you imagine getting this phone call, you guys?
Unbelievable.
Hey, you want a trip to Japan?
He's the blue line. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to be on the phone when Miss Fisher calls us.
No, we don't.
We are kicking off flyaway destination number two in Brussels, Belgium, later on this morning. Give you a chance to qualify for that coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. First, though, let's take care of last week's contest. What city are we calling?
This is L.A.
This is L.A. I wish I got a call like this. That'd be cool.
You'll never get a call like
I know, this. But it'd be cool. I'm just saying it would be cool.
It would be cool.
Eric?
Yeah?
Eric is shaky. Yeah, Eric. Hey, it's Kevin and Bean Show calling. We're on K-Rock. So are you. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you?
Why do you think we're calling?
Oh, no way.
Yep. You want a trip to Tokyo, Japan?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm worried about him.
I am too.
I don't see him making it there.
We're not making it back.
It's going to be a wasted trip.
I don't see Eric being able to make it to the airport by himself. What's your deal, dude? How old are you?
I'm 26.
26. 26. Wow. Right. So, yeah. Tokyo, Japan, yes, no? Are you in? You want us to hang up on you and call somebody else? Because we can.
Hell yeah.
You're in. Okay. You want to go?
I'm sorry?
All right, good. You hold on.
Do you have a passport?
Dude, we have Isla on the other line. Let's see.
Okay. All right. Bye, Eric. Congratulations.
Yeah, Eric.
Eric is going to Summer Sonic in Tokyo, Japan. Fantastic. Good stuff. All right. Isla Fisher. She is one of the stars of a movie that looks incredible called Now You See Me. It's in theaters everywhere this Friday. I saw her over the weekend in The Great Gatsby. It did not end well for her. Spoiler alert. Hey, Isla, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank
you. We're doing great. This is, you're having a heck of a summer. I mean, I know the deal is, hey, you just want to be a working actor, but when the pieces fall together like they have for you in 2013, you just have to be loving it right now.
I mean, everything's come out in the same month. I did all three, Arrested Development, this job, and The Great Gatsby. I spaced them out over a three-year shoot period, and somehow they all got released within, like, 2 weeks of each other. So it is funny.
Yeah, totally. Well, let's talk about this Now You See Me for a minute. I mean, I don't know what you look for when you get a script, but at some point you have to realize, oh, my God, Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, Woody Harrelson, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine. I mean, it's ridiculous the people you get to work with in this movie.
And also just the story is so great. I love the story. I was so gripped. I wanted to know what happened. I never saw the twists coming. I love magic. I was fascinated by all the illusions.
I'm sorry. Could I just butt in here? You just said you love magic.
Yes.
Okay.
Just clarifying.
Where?
Wait! Why? Why did we slow up on that?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because there's so many douchebag magicians. And when I first saw the trailer to this movie, I was like, oh no, another trailer about magic. And then it turned and obviously is a great, awesome story. And I can't wait to see the movie. But my initial instinct on the magic part was not great.
Oh, wow. Really? Did you have a bad time at a kid's party?
I was touched by a magician.
Yeah. You go, Isla. You give it back to him. What was your early exposure to magic? Like, when did you develop an affinity for it?
I mean, I wouldn't call it an affinity. I just was that kid. If there was a magician at a party, I was kind of impressed, and I wanted to know how he was able to do what he did, and I wanted to kind of debunk him. So I was fascinated by this movie where we debunk most of the illusions that we grew up looking at kids' parties or wherever. Well, actually, this is a lot more sophisticated, these stunts. But I love that world. I think it's so impressive. And now I know what magicians kind of go through to get their tricks. I just think of them as just one of the most interesting performers around. I mean, they have to do hundreds and thousands of hours worth of what they do to get that dexterity to...
Right, to make it look easy, right. And your character in the film, Now You See Me, and we're talking to actress Isla Fisher here on the Kevin Amin Show, the film opens Friday, is an escapologist. So you would be the damsel in distress, the girl who gets chained up or put underwater or put in a block of ice or something like that, and then you have to figure out a way to get out without the audience knowing, right?
Yeah, but not really the damsel in distress, because that means that she would be rescued, but she rescues herself.
Ah. I got to tell you, this movie looks so good from a standpoint of, you just said...
It's so good. I've seen it. I'm telling you, this movie is so freaking good.
You just said when you're a kid, your reaction to magic is to try and figure out how they did it. And it looks like this takes it to a whole other level where the FBI can't figure out what's going on.
I know. And what's great is you never know who's bad in this movie, who's good in this movie, right until the very end. And even then, it's not that clear.
Tell me about being chained underwater, Isla. What's that like? Because you're doing that for real when they're shooting this, right?
I was doing it for real, and actually I got stuck underwater because my chains, one of the chains, they were magnetic, my handcuffs, so I could always get free if I panicked.
Right.
And they had this wonderful safety release, which they could empty the tank in 70 seconds if, you know, needs be. So I had all the kind of, you know, safety net I needed, but one of the chains that went from my ankle to my wrist was not magnetic, and it got stuck underneath one of the... vent, yeah, and I had to, I panicked for a bit, and of course no one noticed because my character's panicking, so it's hard to tell.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I did think to myself, if I'm going to die, I'm not dying in a bloody swimming costume.
The people who do that job for real, how long can they hold their breath underwater?
Oh, they can hold it for a really long time. Even Woody Harrelson actually can hold his breath for a phenomenally, I can't remember how long, but, you know, a crazy amount of time. It's a skill that you can learn. I tried to build up to it myself just, you know, through practice. But, no, there are proper ways, you know, by inhaling, you know, pure oxygen before you go into the tank. And there's a bunch of different ways you can do it.
That's interesting. Real quick, in our remaining moments here with Isla, Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine both are guys who I feel like are the, you know, part of the history of 20th century film. When you get a chance to hang out with guys like that, to work with them on a set, do you get a chance to just talk to them and hear the stories that they must have to tell?
Yeah, I mean, so Michael Caine, I had a few scenes with, so he was a wonderful raconteur, and I just listened, and he was happy to share, you know, everything with me, and it was so exciting to be around them.
Well, I got to tell you, the movie looks fantastic. I can't wait for it. It's called Now You See Me, and it's in theaters Friday, May 31st, which is this coming Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. Isla Fisher, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye now.
I still laugh out loud when I think about Lisa May curled up around the tree in the parking lot.
It was funny.
The morning. Who brought in the pot brownies, Kevin? Do you remember?
No one.
Allegedly, who brought in the pot brownies?
Someone,
I'm not trying to pin it on anyone.
Our,
it was a guest, wasn't
another,
it?
No, someone
it
in
was
another
somebody,
area of
somebody
the
that no longer works here.
Right.
Okay. Because
we have a
zero-tolerance policy.
Of course we do. But the way I recall the story is that Lisa May had a brownie and felt nothing and said, "This is BS, man." And Kevin, I believe, encouraged her to have another.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, she's wrapped around a tree weeping outside the parking lot.
I'm going to die.
Call 911. I can't breathe.
And the reason I bring that up is because there's a story in the news that makes me think, I don't know that we've done this phone topic, but we'd like to hear from Kevin Bean listeners about the highest they've ever been, to the point where they got themselves into a situation that people are still trying to convince them really happened. Like, they woke up after the fact and couldn't believe the stuff that they were doing while they were high that they don't remember. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever, you know, been at a party in Southern California and the next morning you wake up in Las Vegas with no memory of how you got there because that's how high you were, we want to hear from you. And the story that prompted all this is a 21-year-old University of Colorado Boulder student named Taylor Powers, who, by the way, is hot enough, Kevin, that you would have wanted to be there as she was on mushrooms, naked, and fighting off emergency responders who were trying to restrain her on the top of a mountain.
They dialed 911 and said, somebody here is high on mushrooms and we need some help. Boulder County Sheriff's Office deputies, other emergency responders, 35 in all,
sheriff's office, mountain parks, fire rescue.
35 because it went out over the radio that there was a naked college student who was on mushrooms. That's why every agency wanted to get involved. They didn't need 35 people to tie down a 21-year-old girl.
But
come on.
There were 35 of them, and the article goes on to say it took rescuers about an hour to subdue her.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that?
She was fighting everybody, wasn't she?
So she's naked, she's on mushrooms, and she's fighting off 35 first responders.
Wow.
That seems like a good time slash bad time.
That's really high.
Exactly. Thank you, Lisa. That's extremely high. This is Rocky Mountain high in this case. Now, I don't know much about mushrooms, but is that the type of – I should be asking Beer Mug. Is that the type of drug that that makes you fight? I mean, is that a side effect of that? Do people react that way?
It might be because it is a hallucinogenic. You do hallucinate off it if you take enough. So she could have, you know, imagined something that just set her off.
Like she was seeing dragons or something from Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
Is it the type of thing like we hear about some drugs where people get superhuman strength, basically, where they're able to fight well beyond their weight?
No, not like PCP or anything like that. You don't really that's not common with mushrooms.
Can you imagine though her friends, the next day after she's come down from it a little bit,
trying to explain to her? Yeah.
No, seriously, you took off your clothes and then started swinging at all of us.
No. At first it was her two friends trying to, you know, hold her down or, you know, subdue her. And then they had 35 first responders and they couldn't subdue her. And it was just a craziness.
Well, I guarantee that our listeners have done this and better. I have every confidence that this article speaks to our crowd. So give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about you, the highest you ever were, and the crazy thing that you did. Do we want to take – we don't even have time. No. You hang on line one there. We'll have them hang on, and we'll get right to the calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Matt Money Smith, just after 8 o'clock this morning, talking all things sports. There's a lot going on, particularly this weekend, and also your chance to ask a gigolo coming up next hour. That's going to be fascinating. We're going to have to tie Lisa down or something so she doesn't leave with brace, I think. First, though, we're talking about this 21-year-old college student, female, in Colorado, got so high on mushrooms that she stripped off all of her clothes while out hiking in the mountains with her roommates and then started fighting them. The police were called. 35 officers ended up on the scene trying to subdue her. Kimberly writes in, I'm going to suggest that the cops were fighting slash letting her win, letting her win because they all wanted excuses to quote unquote fight with the naked chick. And I'm going to call it the mushroom dance. It's like a square dance. One naked mushroom chick trading off partners with the 35 cops that wanted to dance with her, says Kimberly. But we're taking your calls right now about the highest you ever got and what you did, the crazy stuff you did when you were really, really out of it. Let's start with Rob, by the way. He's on line one. This one's going to be tough to beat. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin and B. Lisa May.
Hello.
What'd you do?
About 2 years ago, I smoked a lot of meth, and I ended up walking from Rolling Heights to downtown Riverside.
Rolling Heights to Riverside? How far is that?
What?
40
miles?
It's not that far driving, but walking it.
And you did it in 10 minutes on meth.
Yeah, you made fantastic time.
What? Yeah, and then I woke up a couple days in the mental hospital.
Oh my gosh. I'd like to say to advertisers, this is the quality individual you can meet when you advertise with the Kevin Beach Show. Were you aware of it while you were walking?
Bits and pieces. I remember getting close to Riverside. I was trying to get to the bus to get back out to Moreno Valley, and I have no idea. I guess
when you woke up at the mental hospital, did you have to have them explain a lot to you? Like, what happened?
I can't explain how I got there. Yeah. Well, what happened was a cop noticed me acting kind of weird, and he approached me. I pulled the knife out and put it up against my own throat and told him to F off.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right. This was a fun story right till then.
It sure was. Are you off the meth now, though, Rob?
Yeah, I went to rehab right after that.
Good man. Good man. Stay away from the meth.
It's not good for
not
you.
Leave that
to Breaking Bad. Yeah, thanks for the call.
I've never been this high in my goddamn life.
Let's try Andy. Andy is on line three, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andy, how high were you?
Really high.
What happened?
Really high and really drunk.
What happened to you?
It was late at night. I took my girlfriend home. We got in a fight, and...
was with another friend too. We were driving over to his house, and we pulled off to get a little bit more high because we weren't high enough. So I for some reason got out of the car and climbed up a light pole and was hanging from the light on the light pole and apparently making a lot of noise.
All right.
One of the neighbors came out and was telling me to shut up, and I climbed down from the light pole, ran over to my truck, grabbed a hammer, went after the guy who came out of his house.
Oh, my gosh.
What's happening?
Now, is this something that they told you about afterwards, or do you remember doing it?
When I kind of woke up in the in jail the next morning, I remembered bits and pieces of it.
Just not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bean, I think we were expecting some comedy answers.
We got maybe like pot.
We got,
but I don't know what these people are doing.
We got knife to throat, and we got Chase Neighbor with hammer.
Yeah,
what's happening
doesn't
here?
Doesn't sound like fun. All right, Andy, thanks so much for the call.
Marijuana, get high.
Let's try Frank. Maybe Frank had a better time being too high. Frank, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Uh-huh. What happened?
So this was probably around 2 years ago, and it was the first time I ever smoked weed.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend didn't tell me how much I should smoke.
Right.
So all I knew was he had a bong, and he just said, keep going. So for about an hour, I just kept licking his bong, and I must have taken between 10 or 15 bong rips. And
first of all, your friend did the right thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, listen to this. So it was good at first. You know, I got the giggles. But then I started to go into this crazy little panic.
Paranoia,
and
yeah.
Paranoia. And I started talking about the government and the CIA and the FBI and the police, and I thought they were all coming after me. So my friends are sitting there, couch potatoed high, while I'm running around, and I ended up taking all their phones. And I took all of our phones and threw them in a pool because I thought they were tracing us.
So you couldn't be tracked.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was a bright idea. And then for some reason, I thought I was bugged on my clothes.
Oh, my
gosh. So the next
thing
I do is I take those off and I throw them into the pool.
This story just got ugly.
I fetal position for the rest of the night in the bathroom.
Frank, I got to ask you, you said that was the first time you ever smoked pot. Did you go back to it since, or did that swear you off of it for life?
The sad thing is I decided to go back for a little while.
The next day, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right.
Frank's our man. Thank you. Ask a Gigolo next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. This should be fun. Brad, no one's ever, the chicks, they've never paid you for sex, though, right?
Well, in their own ways.
So, no.
I take Skittles as currency.
Wow, really?
Certainly.
Yeah, why not?
You can pay dwarves in Skittles. You didn't know that?
A Skittle is a meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole meal for you, right. Brad Williams is filling in for Ralph Garman today here on the Showbiz Beat. Ralph returns tomorrow. In the meantime, what's going on in Hollywood?
What's going on in Hollywood? Amanda Bynes. That's all you got to say.
Yep.
Just Amanda Bynes. That's it.
She rules.
That, oh, my God. This one. Over the weekend, she got in a little Twitter war with Rihanna. The thing is no one knew that they were fighting or if they were fighting.
I don't think they were.
This seems to just come out of nowhere. And she tweeted at Rihanna that Chris Brown beat you because you're not pretty enough, which is like not even funny.
Nope.
Like if that's an attempt at a joke, lame. And also said, no one wants to be your lover so you can call everyone and their mother. She rhymed. I don't know why. That I almost named my new dog Rihanna. And she's going off on this thing. Rihanna came back with an excellent joke. She tweeted back, you see what happens when they cancel intervention?
That's pretty good.
Which yeah. I think, I if they did an intervention with Amanda Bynes, ratings through the roof.
No yeah. kidding.
That would be awesome.
But you're right, Brad. It's weird that it seems to have come out of nowhere. It's not like Rihanna was going around bad-mouthing Amanda Bynes or anything like that. It's not like they have any kind of history together. I saw a photo of them together from like 5 years ago where they apparently were very friendly with one another. They didn't seem to... It's not like there's any problem that started all this.
No.
So is it just in her imagination? Like she should have been calling in on her last segment of You Were So High, You Don't Remember What You Did?
I would guess so.
You were so high, you tweeted insults to Rihanna.
Right.
Makes sense. Yeah, it just seems like that. She's just kind of in an outer world place. And I think I saw the same photo that you saw, Bean. And it's amazing that Rihanna still looks essentially the same. Amanda looks like... Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's just
yeah.
That she, you know what?
She used to be really cute.
Yeah,
when she was a little girl, she was cute. She was a cute girl, and you would think, hey, she's going to grow up to be beautiful.
Right.
Did not happen.
Right now, she looks like a character from Dr. Seuss.
Yeah,
like just it's like one of the Whovillians. And but Amanda is now claiming that the tweets were faked or they were mocked. This is her quote. I saw a bunch of mocked up tweets about me bashing Rihanna in my mentions. I'm followed by so many people that someone is always mocking up fake tweets, so I feel the need to address them.
Somebody tell me how to do that, would you?
Right, no kidding. Like, doesn't Lady Gaga, isn't she followed by like 30 million people, and she never
right.
goes on Twitter and just starts insulting
but
people?
That's
so
such a big liar.
Yeah, so
I mean, look,
someone wrote these things.
You can fake a retweet of anything that you want. I mean, anyone
right, sure.
can type Amanda Bynes' name and then whatever they want after and pretend that that's a retweet. But if you go to Amanda's page and that tweet is on her timeline, then clearly it came from her account. If she's not saying she was hacked, then she typed it.
Absolutely. Can you imagine how much she must be paying a publicist right now?
I don't think she has a publicist right now.
She doesn't?
I think she's on her own.
I think she's her own publicist.
I don't think she has representatives. I don't think she has anything.
Well, this show is on in L.A., so many publicists listen. No one represent. Let's keep this going.
No. I don't think there's going to be any problem with people rushing to represent her.
I don't know. Is Lindsay Lohan's publicist available? You know, that could work. Scott Disick. You know who Scott Disick is? That's the
he's
Kardashian.
He's the douchebag that married Courtney?
Yeah. Well, he married Courtney Kardashian. He had his 30th birthday party in Las Vegas over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And while it was his birthday, the star of the party, of course, was the momager, Kris Jenner.
Of course.
Getting a little tipsy.
She's the star of every party, by the way. It doesn't matter if it's somebody else's wedding or birthday. She's all, hey, look at me.
Yeah, apparently she was in the DJ booth dancing,
sure.
getting drunk, getting
sure.
on tables,
that's fun.
Having a good time. Most of the crew was there. So you had Disick, you had Courtney, obviously, the momager. Khloe Kardashian, not invited.
Really?
Not invited.
Huh.
Khloe
did
was
Khloe have a comment?
She did. She was apparently very upset. She released an audio statement. Here it is.
That's the worst impression ever.
You know, is that on the lines of it's so bad it comes back to being
absolutely.
Good?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. That's great.
Yeah. That's what my comedy is, people. So bad it comes back to being
so
good.
So if we go see where are you playing this weekend, you're at the Ice House, right?
I'm at the Ice House in Pasadena Friday right. and Saturday.
We don't have to worry about you breaking out any celebrity impressions then, right, Brad?
It's going to be all celebrity impressions.
Be Khloe, full time.
It's going to be Khloe. It's going to be my Shakira impression. Have you heard my Shakira?
No, let's
no.
hear Shakira.
Let's hear some of that.
La 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 la.
Yeah!
Have you ever thought about making your impression sound like the person you're doing an impression of?
Everyone does that, though. I mean, you guys have Ralph on this show who does spot-on impressions.
He's the best.
Ridiculously amazing impressions. I say, that's all been done. How about terrible impressions?
All right.
Okay.
How
so about that's that?
You can own that.
You own that.
Yeah.
Nice work.
You know what? Throw me some requests on Twitter, and then I'll come back. And
outstanding.
I'll try them. Follow me on Twitter, at FunnyBrad, and you can...
can't wait to hear your Charles Barkley. I'm already getting excited.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everybody. On this May 28th, John Fogerty is 68 years old. Kylie Minogue, 45. Elizabeth Hasselbeck from The View is 36, and actress Carrie Mulligan is 28. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter patter on the show.
Hey, Kings fans, are you ready? Huh? Are you ready? I need to hear you. I need to hear you right now.
Great Will Ferrell.
Right now.
Okay.
Let's go. Go, Kings, go. Go, Kings, go. Go, Kings, go!
Take it easy.
I can't hear you!
All right.
I'm losing my mind!
All right, take it easy.
You need to lose okay. your minds!
All
Let's
right.
go!
Okay. All right, Will, thank you.
Ah!
Okay. Where was he? Why was he doing that?
He's on the big screen at the home games.
Oh, that's where they play that for the crowd at yep. Staples Center. That's funny. Kevin, you have not mentioned yet.
Game 7!
During which period will you be tweeting for the Kings tonight? I have not heard.
Oh. That's so funny. Never stops being funny.
Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Radio Show. How are you, my friend?
I heard it's all three periods, right?
Sure.
They've expanded its coverage.
I have not exactly been asked back.
Why is there nothing going on in sports right now, Money? What do you even have to talk about these days?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. It's funny. I understand you're being facetious, of course.
Right, because it's insane and nobody can watch all the great stuff that's happening right now.
So think about it, though. In the city of L.A., you know, the Lakers were supposed to face the Heat. Finally, we get the Kobe-LeBron showdown. They suck.
Yeah.
They get swept out of the playoffs. The Clippers then, you know, 56 wins, most in franchise history.
This was their year.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
They get bounced in the first round. The Dodgers are paying their players $230 million to do what? Suck.
Yeah.
And the Angels, although they're streaking, pay the man, mother effer, certainly have been a disappointment. SC was a preseason number one. And, I mean, that's arguably the most disappointing season by a college football team ever. Preseason number one to 7-6 in a Sun Bowl loss.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is it.
So what you're saying is it's bad times for Southern California sports fans, with the exception of the Kings.
Exactly, because the Ducks blew it because they suck. So
the Ducks had Detroit. They had them and they let them go.
Yeah, let them go. Just like the Blackhawks had Detroit and they let them go. Or Detroit had the Blackhawks and let them go.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's talk about this Game 7 tonight. I always have this question when people, you know, people do this in all sports where they look at the history and they go, well, the Sharks have an awful lot more experience with Game 7s, but isn't that countered by the fact that the freaking Stanley Cup winners are the Los Angeles Kings? Does that matter at all going into tonight?
Obviously I've never played in a Game 7, but they all do say it's different, that you're gripping the stick a little bit harder, that you're just, you know, it's almost like the first playoff game, you know, like in the World Series or in the Stanley Cup final, just because there's so much on the line. That's it. You know, in a series where you know you have to win seven games, now that's gone. You know, now it's a one-game playoff.
Yeah.
So it changes. In a sport where you don't play a single Super Bowl or, you know, you have to get a series, it's still different. Say that there is something different by Game 7.
Well, it all comes down to if you lose, your season's over. And if you win, you could go on to win the Stanley Cup. That much is on, you know, riding on one game. That's crazy.
Yeah, I would say, you know, from an experience standpoint, the one thing from the Kings that they don't have, you know, through last year's playoff run is they haven't faced an elimination game. You know, they have not had to deal with the idea of, hey, if we lose this game, our season is over.
Right.
Well, that did not happen last year. You know, they went up 3-0 in every series. And this year, they went up 3-2 on the Blues, won that game in St. Louis. So they never faced elimination. So
that's an interesting point. And every game in the St. Louis series was a one-goal differential. Most of the games in the series against San Jose have been that close, too. Of course, Game 5 was the blowout. The Kings won 3-0. But I think almost every other game has been a one-goaler. So it's really too close to call tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mike Richards put it best, I thought, after the Game 4 loss. He said, look, this is what it's supposed to be like. You know, this is what, having been through this before, you know, he did it with the Flyers, also with the Stanley Cup final. He's like, this is what a Stanley Cup playoff looks like. Last year, that was an aberration. That doesn't happen. You don't go up 3-0 in every series and then just, you know, hold on for the win. This is playoff hockey. It's why a lot of people, me included, say it's the best postseason, because every series seems to be separated by a goal in every game, or they go, you know, they end up going 6 or 7. And that's just, you know, that's what it takes. That's why it's such a hard trophy to win. It's such a hard championship to attain, because these things are just so close, you know, and it does get tight, and guys are going to freak out tonight, and someone's going to blow it, and that's just the way.
And hopefully that somebody's going to be a Shark.
Yeah.
Kevin, what's it going to be like for you there tonight to know that it all comes down to one game, and then at some point there's going to be, it all comes down to two periods, and then one period, and it's going to be like, okay, 5 minutes from now, one of these teams is going to win, and we still don't know which one. I mean, that's when the tension just gets ridiculous.
I don't know. I've never been more nervous in my life. Good thing I'm not playing.
You look at that game last night, you know, or yesterday, between the Blackhawks and the Wings, and I mean, that should tell you a little something of what you're going to see. You know, I mean, you had, you know, the Hawks get this penalty shot, they score, for league scores, they go up 4-2, but then all of a sudden in the third period, Detroit scores. And it's 4-3. And now this is an elimination game, and they've got to hold on. You can't go into OT at the Lou and expect to get out of there. And you could see those guys were freaking the hell out yep. on the ice. Like, we have just got to figure out a way to get this next 3 minutes pass so we can get out of here and go home. And that's right. what it'll feel like. You know, that's exactly – it's going to be a special atmosphere inside Staples tonight. No question about it.
This is the voice of Mad Money Smith, our friend from the Petros & Money radio show, weekday afternoons on Fox Sports Radio. I want to ask you this. Let's turn our attention to the NBA for just a second here. Nobody is ever excited about San Antonio, yet they are one of the most successful basketball teams, certainly in the last 10 years or so. Were you surprised at how easily they put away Memphis, Matt?
Yeah, yes and no. I thought Craig Popovich, their head coach, put it best. He said this was not a sweep. He's like, you had two games that went into overtime. You had the game one blowout, you know, but then you have two games that are decided in overtime. And last night, which is a 3-point game with under a minute to go. So, but that's the Spurs, you know, they out execute you. That's what they do. They make right pass. They take the highest percentage shot. They get the big offensive rebound when they need it. That's why the NBA Finals is going to be great. You know, the Heat will make it. They're too good to not win four times in seven games. And it's going to be a contrast in style.
Will the Heat beat San Antonio?
They should. They should. I mean, LeBron James is in that, you know, in that special realm of we just don't expect him to lose. You right. know, we expect that he will figure out a way to do whatever has to be done to get his team victory. He's that good now. He's reached his prime, and he's delivering. So, but you know, Popovich is such a good coach. I mean, just a remarkable coach. And you could see him in that Memphis series constantly making adjustments, you know, instantly doubling Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol never wanted to take a shot. Zach Randolph knew he was getting fouled before he ever went up, and he basically neutralized the strength of their team, those two big guys, and they never got on track. So I'm anxious to see what he does to figure out, you know, just the puzzle that is LeBron James.
How many
it's going to be exciting.
How many coaches in the NBA are as good as Popovich?
You know, I think when you talk about Greg Popovich, Rick Carlisle, the head coach of the Mavericks, is considered a great tactician. Doug Collins, who just left the Sixers, is also considered a great in-game coach. Tom Thibodeau, the head coach of the Bulls, is considered the best defensive coach in the league. There are not, you know, I guess to answer your question, not a lot. By all accounts, you talk to players and analysts, and they say he's the best far and away, and it's not close.
Right. Maybe you know the answer to this, and maybe it's as simple as they figured out a way to make more money doing it this way, but why are the NBA playoffs spread out over what seems like 2.5 months? Like, don't the finals not start for over another week?
Yeah, they won't start for a week, and the reason they do it is they never play two games on the same night. In the conference finals. The conference finals are exclusive.
I see.
And they always account for a travel day, so that's why they end up getting spaced out. You know, San Antonio and Memphis, they had 2 days off. I mean, they had 3 days off, as a matter of fact. Tuesday to Saturday. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy schedule. And I can't believe, last thing I'll say on this topic is that I can't believe that Tony Parker is only 31. I feel like I've seen him on my TV playing basketball since I was a little kid.
But he's got that kind of French, I've been smoking 9 packs of cigarettes since I was a 10-year-old look to him. You know, the bags under his eyes, the 5 o'clock shadow when he rolls out of bed. He just, I don't know, he looks like he smells like a combination of Marlboros, Dracar Noir, and I don't know what else.
Armpit. Well, yes, nice.
You are going to be very busy with your remote control tonight. So you've got the Heat versus Pacers. That's game four of the Eastern Conference Finals. That's tonight. Of course, the freeway series continues, Dodgers-Angels. Then you got the Kings versus Sharks with game seven of the Western Conference semifinals. All going on basically tonight at the same time. So it's going to be quite an evening for you, Money. Thanks so much for the time today. We enjoyed it.
Go Kings, go. Amen.
Thank you, man.
We were hoping to ask a gigolo here, but apparently our gigolo had a job this morning that came up out of nowhere. So he had to take care of some business, put some work in. So he's showering and changing, and he'll be down here in just a few minutes. We'll get a chance to get to that in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday morning. First, though, a couple of emails of interest, I think, based on current topics that we've had. Kevin, you saw the Fast and Furious 6 over the weekend.
Yep.
How was that, by the way?
It was great action and bad everything else. Hot chicks, fantastic. They get a 10. Action, 10.
Yeah.
Dialogue, sure could have used done without it.
Okay.
On the movie beat on Friday, the clips that Ralph was playing, it seems like that every word that came out of Vin Diesel's mouth is like trying to make a catchphrase for the movie.
Yeah, it's car porn. You don't want the dialogue, but you like the action.
Well, here's an email from a listener named Leah who said, "Dear Kevin Bean, all week on my drive into work, I've been listening to you guys bash the Fast and Furious movies," which I don't think is exactly true, by the way, but we have mocked them a little bit. "Rightfully so, but I can't hate on the series too much because those movies saved my life."
What?
4 years ago, my friend and I went to see the fourth movie. I had been feeling a little off for a while, but there are subtitles that stream across the screen in that movie, and I noticed that I couldn't see them in certain places. I left the movie and I went to my doctor. 5 days later, I was in the hospital getting a brain tumor removed.
Holy cow.
I'm fine now, and I owe that to a generally stupid movie about cars, so I do my best to support the franchise on my way of giving back to the movie that saved my life, says Leah. Isn't that a crazy story?
Yeah.
Here's that should be on the poster, by the way.
We saved listener Leah's life. Here's a couple on the topic that we did about somebody that you knew ended up on the news. Beer Mug, it turned out, went to high school with the guy who they arrested in Culver City a couple weeks ago. He had all those pipe bombs in his apartment. They think he might have put the pipe bomb in that Taco Bell location, too. Well, this is from James. "I was listening to Thursday's podcast. I had to share this story with you on knowing someone in the news. My fiance was visiting her grandma in South Carolina. One day while watching the morning news together, they heard a headline that read, 'Southern California man fires several shots into parked car.' Well, long story short, her dad is a drunk. He was up late one night drinking when a car alarm started going off near the apartment. After a while of it not shutting off, he decided to take matters into his own hands. He walked out on the balcony and unloads his gun into the car, failing to stop the alarm, by the way. So his daughter and mother got to watch the SWAT team on live TV kick in his door and haul him away."
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine seeing your dad on the news being taken out by a SWAT team?
Oh, no.
Here's one more on that topic, and this is going to skeeve you guys out. "Hi, Kevin and Bean, longtime listener to the podcast. I grew up with the said terrorist, Adam Gadan. Remember him? He was that American, Lisa, that they think turned and became Al-Qaeda? He ended up being pretty high up.
Right.
He's the American guy. He made videos for Al-Qaeda. He was considered a senior advisor to bin Laden and was assumed to be playing the role of a translator, video producer, and cultural interpreter. Well, he grew up just around the corner from me. Adam attended my 16th birthday party."
Wow.
"His family attended my wedding. His sister was in my wedding. He even made a mixtape for me for my 16th birthday party."
Did it include a song from Bin Laden?
"We found out that he was wanted through my brother-in-law, who saw him on the FBI's most wanted list. He had recognized Adam, having grown up with him and my family. The crazy part is Adam used our family's last name as an alias."
Oh.
"During 2004, there were helicopters and reporters all over my parents' home trying to retrieve information about him due to the fact that our last name was used as one of his aliases. P.S. Fire Beer Mug, you're all awesome, Amy." Isn't that insane?
Was his real name
Omar North Tower?
Look, it's one thing to have somebody you know end up on the news, but a wanted on the FBI top 10 most wanted terrorist list was one of the guy you partied with in your neighborhood.
You would just never believe it.
No.
And you would also think, do I have no recognition of what's going on in the world? Like, am I clueless to the people around me that I didn't see something like this?
I mean, I'm not good at picking friends.
It would screw with you. And finally, Matthew writes in, and I want to thank the Kevin and Bean listeners
who are so diligent
when we miss a moment with. "Hey, I'm a podcast listener. I'm a couple weeks behind, but I recently heard a great moment with Kevin. I've been waiting for you guys to catch it and play it, but so far I haven't heard it. Perhaps you've caught it since, but there was a great moment with Kevin when he was talking to Dr. Ken Jeong from the Hangover movies on April 26th at the 1 hour and 55 second mark in the podcast."
Oh, come on, really?
"Fire Beer Mug, hook me up, guys, Matthew." Well, Matthew, we're happy to take care of you.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Yeah. Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Right?
How did you guys miss that?
Yes, I don't know.
And if it weren't for Matthew, we wouldn't have had that so well done. We'll take a break. Your chance to ask a gigolo coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:35.
Give me the big intro. Let me hear the intro.
Taking off your jeans. She made you do her. To do her. Delivering your stick of thunder. He making dough. He making dough. Getting paid to bone.
Ask a gigolo.
Yes, it's Ask a Gigolo on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are happy to welcome Brace to the studio. He is one of the stars of the show on Showtime Thursday nights at 11 called Gigolos. Hi, Brace. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. My trip wasn't that good getting here, but I'm good, and I'm glad I made it safe, and I'm glad that you aren't thinking that I'm one of these guys that doesn't show up on time.
No, that's me.
We,
I've got that slot covered. Don't worry about it.
All right. All
so you have the dream job, and we're going to be taking calls from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. How long have you been working as a gigolo?
Oh, it's a long story. After I got a divorce in 2000, I just started, you know, women started offering me money to travel all over and do this and that. And I thought, you know, this is my way of getting back at women.
Just a little bit.
Let me back up one step. Bean said you had the dream job. Is it the dream job?
Well, no, I don't think so, because everybody says that. But in my what I've done, it's I've just kind of entertained high-end women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
what I've done, and I don't. That's not my full-time occupation. And it's depicted on the show a little bit different than what I do. And the other guys do it like full-time way it's depicted, yes. And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, and I worked for General Motors almost my whole life, and real estate, owned businesses and vitamins companies and stuff like that. So, but it just came to me where I just, the women were offering me quite a bit of money to go hang out with them for a weekend, a week, whatever, go to Europe. I've been to European things. I've gone all over the world. Yeah.
But you, but it must.
If you knew everything that I've done, which it's coming out in a book.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
When you talk about a trip to Europe with a woman that you don't really know, that could go terribly wrong. That could be horrible.
That's why it's called work, right? That's why you get paid for it.
Yes, and I did that in my younger years, as the beginning of my gigolo career. And you know, I ended up in Russia a couple times, Moscow, and I was with these ladies that were from, had their exes were oil barons, so they were all kind of shady, you know, and I'm thinking.
dangerous.
No, it was dangerous, and I was brought into these places where almost like these old world, almost like miniature castles, and it was.
And you were thinking next stop, Siberia.
It was the craziest thing. I don't know. I could have ended up, you know, out in the back.
Next stop, truck of some guy's car.
Inside.
That's what it
sounds like. Yeah, exactly. But I didn't. No,
Brace. You have said that the Russian women are among the most beautiful in the world, right?
How do you know I said that?
I did a
little research.
Yes. I was floored the first time I went over there. I've never seen so many beautiful women in my life when I went to Ukraine and Russia. And I'm like, wow, hotter than hell. But they're
not just some that are super hot, but a lot of them are
just
hot.
Tons of them. I've never seen so many, but they're kind of hard. They're kind of hardened. They're like vipers. They will like eat you alive.
Wow. I want to read that chapter of the book.
I am serious. They're like that.
So I mentioned that it's work, and every job that seems, look, it's not glamorous most of the time if you're an actor. It's not glamorous most of the time if you're a professional athlete. And I'm sure that's the case for you. I'm sure there are a lot of times where you're hanging out in your house and you have a date that night and you know you have to pick up some broad at 7:30. And the last thing you feel like doing is going out and making small talk all night, right?
Absolutely. It is a job. I don't even like really doing it that much unless it's a high-end type deal. And that's the only thing that's worth it for me.
You know, because you get perks that are fun.
Yeah, well, I want to do fun things. I want to hang out with somebody that's a well-maintained woman that has wealth, that has money, that can drop 10 grand, 20 grand like nothing. And that's all I really care about in this business.
Brace, are you in the mode right now post-divorce? And I know it's been a number of years since your marriage busted up, but are you not interested in a relationship at all? Or do you like being single?
I do. I like the freedom. And right now, the way my life is, I'm running here and I'm running there. And plus with doing my show and, you know, I have to meet women when I go out, and it's part of the PR thing for me. And I find women, I love women, you know, and I find them very interesting. And there's beautiful women out there, and I like to hear their stories, and I like to hang out with them. Therefore, that is not conducive to being in a relationship. I mean, yeah, my heart, my soul wants it, but my mind knows that it's not time.
How accurate are your YouTube videos to what you think?
You've seen
because
a couple of them.
You don't like women.
No, I do. I love women, but
not
I don't.
Not in those
so
videos.
Hard to tell.
I don't like the women that are the vipers and that they're the gold diggers and they're just not, you know, they're just the bitches. I don't like that. I don't like women that take advantage of men like they do, especially in Vegas and LA and New York and Miami. They're all like, oh, what's that dude pushing? They're talking about, you know, they're all they're worried about is what this guy has, but yet most women are upside down financially. You know, if they sold everything they had, they still owe $100,000.
That's absurd.
No, it's not. It's true.
It's just an enormous generalization.
But, you know, I'm pointing at a certain group of women. And it's not all women. I love women. I know there's hardworking, good women out there in the world, and I don't want to disrespect women or anybody, but there's a certain group of women that I don't mind saying this about because it's true. Because I've met so damn many of them. I am the truth when it comes to women.
I imagine it's the circles you travel in.
So give me some skin on that. You're a woman.
Nobody likes those women, Brady.
We don't want to touch you, Brady. Come on.
And that's all I'm talking about. I don't mean disrespect. I love you already.
Oh,
you're a good woman. And I love Liz.
You can just tell.
Look at Liz. She
Liz
knows
is
my
fabulous.
She knows my heart.
Yes, I do.
This is PR person, yes. Brace, this is the voice of Brace. He's one of the stars of Gigolos on Showtime, Thursday nights at 11. We're going to be taking your telephone calls. We have room for questions for Brace at 1-800-520-1067 in just a minute. There are some girls women that pay for you multiple times, right? You have a regular standing date or you see them, you know, 5, 6, 7 times, right?
Well, of course. Once they've had Brace, how can they go back to anything else?
Boom! My question to you is there ever been any danger of you developing feelings for them or wanting to take it outside of the professionalism of a paid date?
I have, and they have, and I've been offered deals where these women that have millions of dollars have offered me, you know, all they have if I marry them or have a kid with them and things like that, and I just have never gone down that road. I'm psychologically wrecked.
Damn it.
I like a guy that can actually admit that.
I am, because I have to shut it off, and I hurt inside sometimes, and sometimes I feel like weeping because I know what's going on.
It's getting real in here, you guys.
It's kind of lonely.
I am the truth. I'm telling the truth. I don't have anything to hide. I tell almost anything. You know, I like to talk about it.
You didn't look emotionally wrecked when you were peeing on Jay Moore.
Well, Jay and I and his wife had a good time that night, and we had fun, and we made some memories, and we laughed, so it's good.
All right, let's leave it there for this moment and come right back with your telephone calls. If you've ever wanted to ask a gigolo, you don't often get this opportunity. You can pick up the phone and call right now to talk to our friend Brace here on the Kevin Abede Show. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's right after this on K-Rock. Brace is here. He is a gigolo and one of the stars of Showtime's Gigolos show, Thursday nights at 11. Is this weird for you guys on the Kevin Bean Show to have like two beans in the studio at the same time? I mean, you know, with the modeling and the bodybuilding and the Aikido, it's really like me and Brace are like peas in a pod, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
It's really, really spin us out.
Unfortunately, it is.
We're taking your calls to ask a gigolo at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Paul, by the way, who has the obvious, most basic number one question that you must get asked all the time, Brace, but I think our audience will enjoy the answer. Hi, Paul. You're on the air with Brace. Go ahead.
Hi. What's up, guys?
Hi.
I didn't really...
All right.
I just want to know how you would actually become a gigolo because...
It's not happening for you, Raul. I got bad news for you. Or Paul. Or whichever one you are, right. You get asked that all the time, Brace. How do you become a gigolo? Because technically it's not legal to have sex for money, right?
I think it's, you know, everybody asked me that, but I think a lot, it just fell into a weird situation with me. I was offered, you know, trips, paid a lot of money just to go on trips with these women, and I was divorced, and I'm thinking, why wouldn't I do that? So it's not the same with everybody, and really the gigolo business, male escort business, is really 90% gay, I think.
Oh, is that right?
I just threw out 90, but yeah, I think a lot of men that are in it are gay. We'll do the gay thing.
How about you, Brace?
No.
You don't. You just do. You just
take some time to think about it.
I've never did, never would, and that's not my gig.
No, I'm not judging if anyone wants to. Hey, money is money, but you've just decided not to. Let's go to Michelle. She's on line 4. She's got a question. I don't know if you can help her with or not. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, Michelle.
Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
Hi, Fire Beer Mug, Kevin and Bean.
All right, good.
If I don't have 10 grand to spend, but maybe I have a grand, and I don't want to find someone who's gay, but I do want to find somebody who's, you know, not going to kill me on Craigslist, how do I go about doing that?
Yeah, let's talk about the price.
You call 1-800-BRAZE.
She has a grand.
Yeah.
How does she do it?
Well, there's a website, Cowboys for Angels, which a lot of us are on, but I don't really, you know, I've done my own thing on my own website, so she would have to do her own research, but, you know, it's just really getting to know somebody like that, and that's why the women that know me, these higher-end clients, they know me, and they love hanging out with me, because I entertain them, and I show up, and we have fun, and that's the deal. So and there's not a lot of men out there like me that are doing this, but...
What if Michelle is willing to settle for someone who's not braced, though? Can she get a pretty good time for $1,000? Is that in the ballpark of what the service would cost for most men?
Yeah, that's about a 4-hour gig or 3-hour or something. Depends on somebody's what their worth is. You know, there's a lot of good looking men out there that are tools. You know, they think they're the gigolo, they think they're this and that, and they act like fools, but they're tools. And, go to Chippendales and see stuff like that, and a lot of guys that are in the bodybuilding scene are tools, too. Not all of them, but that's what you get. So that's the part of getting to know somebody that's well-rounded and gives the full...
So there's no real shortcut to finding somebody that you...
I don't think it's just research.
Do the research. Because you're right. There's the internet is a wild and dangerous, untamed place. And I'm sure the quality varies from site to site on what you're going to get. So you just got to try it out. Here's a Facebook question for you, Brace, from Raphael, who wants to know, and I'm sure you can't name names, but have you ever had a celebrity client?
Yes.
What's her name?
I do get celebrity type people here and there that, you know, it has to be, you know, non-disclosure type things, and they trust me, and I will never tell anybody anything about anybody.
But can you tell us something about the date that you went on with a particular celebrity crime? Like, what kind of thing would you have done that night?
Well, actually, I was out of the country on a yacht with a couple cases of Dom Perignon with a woman like that. And it was actually a very good time. It was something that you'd read in a book, which is one of the books that I'm coming out with soon.
Right. Yes, you are writing a book, I am told. Now, are you writing this, or have you hired some ghostwriter?
Well... I am going to sit with somebody, and it's going to be transcribed, and I'm going to just go deep into my memory, and I'm going to tell a lot of good scenarios and adventures that I've had, and people are going to want to buy it because it's good and it's real.
Including the Joan Rivers story? Is that one going to be in there too?
I've never met Joan.
That's what I would say, too, if I had had sex with her for money. Let's go to Christy. Christy is on line one here on the Kevin Bean Show. It's Ask a Gigolo with Brace from Showtime's Gigolo Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Christy.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Christy.
Hey, Christy. My question is, if you are not attracted to your client at all, let's say you get there and she just doesn't do it for you, do you have a hard time performing? What do you do in that situation? Has it ever happened to you?
Well, I think it's happened to everybody that's in this business, but for me, again, if I go through my own website and the various deals that I've done, I screen people, and I don't have to do, this isn't my main, you know, money source to live on, so therefore, I like to have things set up where I have, you know, maybe exchange a couple pictures and get to know somebody a little bit, and that's kind of how I do it.
That's never happened to you, though? Where you go, sure not attracted to this person.
Oh, for sure it has. But again, as I've got seasoned into this little side business that I'm in with this gigolo things, I do it the way that I want to do it. And you know, everybody's not, you know, super hot or anything like that. But usually if somebody's really nice and they're well-groomed and they have something going on, then it can work.
Grooming an issue? A big issue?
Well, for me...
Like, do you run into grooming issues a lot?
No, I don't run into grooming issues, but for me, I like someone who is well groomed and clean, and you know, and you know.
I hear you.
Sure, sure. We know
who doesn't.
You know, one reason you go to a professional in any line of work is that they know what they're doing, and I would imagine that that really comes in handy, especially when you're dealing with first time clients, women for whom it's incredibly awkward and scary to be in a situation like they are with you, right? You kind of have to lead them through it, I would imagine.
Well, they know if they're with me, they know they shouldn't be afraid, and I make them at ease. And, you know, I have a couple of drinks and talk about things, and, you know, whatever. It can just be hanging out together, and a lot of women really like to talk to me. They like to just pour out their hearts, and next thing you know, I feel like weeping because I just took in all their problems, and sometimes that's good enough for them. And they're like, thanks for
all right.
Sake of the time.
That's all you need?
Yeah.
We have heard from female prostitutes before that there are guys who will pay them sometimes to not have sex, but to just be there and be a companion and listen to them. That happens in your world, too?
For sure. But we should leave the word prostitute out of that. That's kind of harsh.
Yeah, I'm not trying to compare you, although you guys are doing the exact same job. But I just mean I was surprised to find out as how often that happens.
Companionship. That's right. What he meant.
Okay. That's what I meant.
I get paid for my time.
Certainly. Gigolos is the show. Showtime Thursday nights at 11. Do you feel that it fairly accurately represents your line of work, Brace?
To be honest, not really, not me, but I think most of the guys, the way that it's done, it is an accurate representation. And again, like I said, I've got used to entertaining high-end clients, and I can do whatever I want, and if I don't do backdoor deals, and that's the way it is with me. I'm different from everybody.
How many more years do you think you got in this business?
I'm slowly phasing out of this because, again, I'm an entrepreneur. I don't have to do this at all. I did it as a sideline. I did it because it was fun. I did it because I knew I could do it, and women were offering me a lot of money to do it, and I said, why not? I'm an entrepreneur.
Pay Lisa, me. How much you got on you right now?
Not enough. I'm pretty sure. Not enough.
All right. When's the before we say goodbye, Brace, you say you're working on the book. When's that coming out?
I'm not sure when it's coming out. We're shooting season 5 probably in September. I'm going to have it ready so I can highlight it on my show.
Okay.
And, you know, I've got some other stuff going on, too. I'm actually working on my own show. I've been offered to do my own show as well. And I haven't.
You and Joan Rivers together again?
No. But,
it's,
you know,
called Together Again.
I'm doing a lot of things. So it's, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, I'm just moving on, and I like to wheel and deal and do different projects.
Well, you are a piece of work, my friend. I'm glad we got a chance to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in on the Kevin DeBean Show today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Game 7 of the Western Conference semifinals of the Stanley Cup playoffs is going to be tonight at Staples Center. That place is going to be going crazy, Kevin.
Yes, it is.
You are going to be there. You can see it on the NBC Sports Network. Of course, this is Kings versus Sharks, a series that, I don't know, if you expected it to go 7 games, I didn't. But here we are.
Yeah, a lot of people did. Both teams are pretty much even. Any one of those games could have gone either way, except for the game when the Kings won 3-0. But I got to tell you, Daryl Sutter, the coach, I was not a fan of his at first, of his press conferences,
mm-hmm.
because they're uncomfortable. Now I love them.
Because they're uncomfortable?
They're super uncomfortable. You know how people, and we're guilty of this too, if there's dead space in a conversation, somebody feels the need to just jump in and say something.
Yes.
Beer mug. Beer mug. Always beer mug.
How dare you? Coach Daryl Sutter is the king of, he's super cool with the entire press conference being quiet. He's got no problem with dead space.
He just doesn't want to be there, does he?
I don't know. He's just got a weird,
I think that's exactly
humor.
What it is, Lisa, is he's just like, look, I'm not here to entertain. I'll answer questions if you've got them, but if not, we can just sit here and look at each other.
Yes, and he's perfectly fine with that. So after the game that they lost Sunday, mm-hmm. in San Jose, he gave a press conference, and they covered it.
The Kings coach addressed the media.
Both teams have won 3.
Now, I don't know what the question was, but his answer was both teams have won 3.
Which right. they would already know.
So it must have been... how do we get to game 7?
Right.
Or something.
So he just says that? It just sits there
just
looking at him?
Just stands there and looks at him.
What
just,
else you got?
Just looks. Just he's fine if the rest of it, just no one says anything. So then this happens.
It seems you had problems again with the first early with penalties.
Okay, so the question, since you can't hear it, is it seems like you guys got into trouble early because you had penalties. And they, mm-hmm. the Sharks had a 5-on-3, and that's when they scored their first goal. And this is Daryl Sutter.
Yep.
and then he just stood there for another 30 seconds.
Well, let me tell you why I applaud that. Is because sports interviews are
the worst
for cliches. And generally what a coach will do, because he's playing the game, is he'll just say the exact same thing that was in the question. Yeah, we sure did. We had a problem with the penalties. That's how we were able to score. Yeah, we got to work on that. We got to get better. And it doesn't add anything to the conversation. You don't learn anything from it. It's just the game that people play when I'm the interviewer and you're the interviewee. Coach Sutter won't play it, and I respect that.
I love that. Yeah, and the reporters asked the question knowing
that they're giving him the answer in their question. I mean, it's all just
what's really he supposed to say?
It's a waste.
Right.
Yeah.
Daryl, the franchise hasn't played in it.
All right. Now, this is where it gets good. Daryl Sutter has no time for meaningless statistics. And sports is that's really where meaningless statistics just take over.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to ask him about the franchise not playing in a Game 7 since 2002. Daryl Sutter has no time for that. Check this out.
Daryl, the franchise hasn't played in a Game 7 since 2002.
Pardon?
The franchise hasn't played in a Game 7 since 2002.
Who cares? Is that so? Should we have a major announcement tomorrow that we haven't played a game seven?
Just wondering if there was anything extra you need to say.
Not really. No.
What's making the Sharks so effective?
Well, I'm not sure the last series, but against us, we've only scored one goal in the three games.
Standing there looking at him. Everybody's afraid to ask a question now. Looking. Just looking.
Trevor Lewis at the face-off circle tonight.
Yeah, I thought his line was really good. I thought Trevor and King and Brownie were our best line.
That was my favorite question because the guy didn't even ask a question. He just said Trevor Lewis in the face-off circle.
Coach Sutter is not the king of elaboration.
No, he does take an idea and run with it.
No, he doesn't expand upon the thought much.
I missed all of it. So, really good.
This guy just comes in late and he says, I missed everything that was said. Can you recap? To Daryl Sutter, who then makes fun of the reporter again for asking the Game 7 question.
Pardon? Yeah, it was awesome. We haven't played I found out during the press conference that we haven't played a Game 7 since 2002. So for me, I can't wait to get back there. Jeez. It's big for me.
Now they're all laughing. And then they send it back to the hosts in the studio and they're laughing.
Lisa, you have to root for the Kings now because we need more press conferences.
I love him.
He's the best. Brad Williams is the worst impressionist that has ever lived.
It's true.
And I'm putting Bean and myself in that category.
And we're terrible.
You guys got spoiled. You have Ralph. You have Jay Moore.
Yeah.
You have all these people who are just unbelievable. And it's like the yin and the yang. I got to come out here and balance it out with a lot of bad.
You know what they do? They make their impression sound like the celebrity.
Is that what they do?
That's what Ralph does, yes, for example.
Huh.
And Jay.
Huh.
Now, Brad is filling in for Ralph Garman today. Ralph will be back tomorrow. He's filling in on Showbiz and has been today. But for folks who weren't with us earlier, roll out a little bit of your Shakira for me, Brad. I'm going to hear some of your dead-on impression of the voice judge Shakira, please.
How is that her?
That's spot on.
How is that her?
You put that next to Shakira, you can't tell the difference.
What about that?
Tonight, you know, what? Hips don't lie.
What? Shut up, Muggs. What you can't see is him swinging his little arms in the air like he just doesn't care.
Right.
I do raise my little T-Rex hands in the air. Like.
I think we just find that. I think we just put that up on Brian.
Oh, good, good. Again, for folks who weren't with us earlier, how about your award-winning Chewbacca impression? Could I hear some of that, please? And that was Chewbacca?
Spot on.
It keeps getting better.
Spot on. I don't, like, you put that, play the Star Wars movie, play me.
Close your eyes, can't tell the difference.
Can't tell the difference.
All right,
Yoda, go.
Help you, I will.
See, now you're trying
not
to sound like him.
Yeah.
See, that was actually kind of decent. I don't know. Someone on Twitter suggested I do George Lopez.
George Lopez?
So here we go. Tan loco, I'm George Lopez, I'm a Mexican.
No.
Perfect.
No. Let's hear Brad Williams doing the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. How about that?
Well, during this weekend, there was people in show business with actual talent who made some movies. And so let's look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Coming in at number one, Fast and the Furious 6 made $120 million.
That's crazy big.
This was, I think, Bean, you said earlier, this was the most money ever pulled in for a movie weekend for Memorial Day weekend.
All of them put together.
Insane.
All of them.
And by the way, I didn't read the article because why would I? But apparently Vin Diesel did an article recently talking about not only Fast and the Furious 7, which already has a release date for next year,
wow,
but talking about Fast and the Furious 8, 9, and 10.
I'm fine with that.
I'm not joking.
By the time 10 rolls out, they're going to be so old, they're going to be driving Rascal scooters.
Maybe.
Through a Walmart.
Like Rascal scooters on 20-inch rims. Be hilarious. Number two, The Hangover 3 made $51 million. Star Trek, $47 million. Epic, the children's movie, $42 million. Iron Man 3 at number 5, $24 million.
That's crazy numbers.
All money went to the movies this weekend. Running out the top 10, number 6 was The Great Gatsby. Number 7, Mud. Number 8, The Croods. Number 9, 42. And number 10, Oblivion. So
what was the last time you got into something on a child's ticket? Like, does that ever happen where they just don't want to argue with you about it? You just tell them you need a kid's ticket and they look down and they go, all right?
Well, there's the thing, like, the joke that every maitre d' thinks that he's the first one ever to do, like, whenever I go to a restaurant, he's like, oh, so we have 3 adults and 1 kid's menu. It's really, dude?
Oh, really?
You're the first one to do that joke. I've never heard that one before. So, yeah, I get stuff like that all the time. But, yeah, although... When I go to Knott's Berry Farm, I still am small enough to ride all the Camp Snoopy rides.
Sweet.
And I do.
Sweet.
They have a ride there called the Huff and Puff, where you just kind of crank on this train.
You rock that.
I own the Huff and Puff. that is my block, yo.
It look like you stole a midget pants.
Word. Speaking of white guys acting black, Justin Bieber in the news, everybody. The cops were actually called on him. Because he was driving his Ferrari around his Calabasas neighborhood at unsafe speeds. Now, this has happened before, but in this case, Keyshawn Johnson, the ESPN analysis, former football player, USC star, caught Justin, saw him driving past, got angry, got in his Prius. I don't know how this scientifically happened. caught up to Bieber in his Prius, went to Bieber's house, tried to confront him. Bieber ran inside the house because you
little
see,
pussy.
Yeah, you say that like you would confront Keyshawn Johnson. No, big large athlete guy. Let me tell you something.
Is that your Justin Bieber impression?
That was my Kevin.
That was his drunk Kevin. Yeah. Oh, I see. I can't tell. Sorry.
None of us can tell until he identifies them.
Nobody can. But yeah, two other people called the cops on Justin, so police were at the scene. No comment yet from Bieber's camp.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. If a car was going up and down the street in front of your house mm-hmm. at 100 miles an hour,
yeah.
would you ever pick up the phone and call the police about it?
I might.
I would, because there's a lot of kids in
yeah.
the
yeah.
It's really insane.
I just wonder if because it's Bieber and they hate him, living in the neighborhood, I wonder if that's why two different neighbors called the police.
And you know what else?
I don't think most people would.
You know what else with that car is noise. I imagine
that's true.
Going yeah. 100 miles yeah. an hour, he's making a ton of noise. Yeah, and people look out and they go, ugh!
As someone who's been hit by a car 3 times,
oh my God.
I'm definitely glad.
You were a hood ornament one time, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I've been hit by a car 3 times. That's
your life is a cartoon.
Is it because people can't see you? Is that why?
That's why.
Yes, Bean.
That's why. Backed over twice, then hit by a bus once. Yeah, I was hit by a bus.
Bus one, Brad zero.
I'm still alive. You can't kill me. So that's happening. The NYPD just released a statement that may be the greatest press release ever.
Okay.
And this is their statement. To Amanda Bynes, no one slapped your vagina.
They didn't really say that.
No possible way.
There's no way they said that. I mean, I know that was her claim after her arrest last week, but the mm-hmm. police did not respond with that.
That was their response.
Nobody slapped your vagina?
According to TMZ.com.
Love it.
Amanda claimed that when she was arrested last week that the police came in, accosted her, slapped her vagina.
How? I don't even understand that.
I guess she said as they were arresting her and maybe in the feeling up process that they did that. So that was a statement they released, and they said that they did a thorough investigation, which how thorough was that investigation? Just, hey, did anyone slap No? All right, we're good.
Good enough.
Well, yeah, because she also said they illegally entered her apartment. She said that they planted drugs in her. I mean, she had all sorts of crazy claims that I'm sure don't hold water.
Absolutely. So,
could I hear your Amanda Bynes impression of her claiming that?
I don't think it was on my vagina today.
That's actually probably pretty accurate.
I'm spot on, you know? And if you want to see more of these great impressions, come see me at the Ice House.
That's what you're known for, is your impressions. On
stage. This Friday and Saturday. Oh, man. Where are we? I'll be recording a new album, so you can actually purchase these impressions one day. Oh, yeah. Good times. I'm going to be a millionaire.
You know how to sell things.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everyone. Singer John Fogerty is 68 years old today. Kylie Minogue, 45. Actor Justin Kirk is 44. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, co-host of You, is 36. And actress Carey Mulligan is 28 years old. I'm Brad Williams. I pitter patter on the showbiz beat.
Brad
Thank
Williams.
Brad.
Yeah, Brad.
Today. Brad's coming back on Friday, by the way, just as a guest, and you're going to have a camera crew following you, which I'm very excited about.
I will. National Geographic is doing a documentary.
On
me and other dwarves.
Really?
Yeah, they got a wee man on it, and apparently some dwarf in Colombia who's actually a drug dealer.
All right!
So they're going to, like, profile all these different little people, and we're going to shoot a segment here on Friday.
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and filling in today, Ralph. We enjoyed it. Brad, in for Ralph. We enjoyed it very much.
Sure tomorrow did. Morning, we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have the guys that are making the documentary Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer, that's going to be on HBO. We've got them coming in.
I would bet serious money you would have not have gotten that sentence out.
You notice I'm not saying their names because okay. I can't. And you dated somebody that your parent dated.
Oh, no. Ooh,
oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. There's a great story to get that kicked off, and we will talk about that tomorrow morning as well on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.